Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com.
In this episode, we explore valuable insights and tips for navigating screen time in the context of autism. We discuss the potential benefits, such as skill development and communication support, as well as the challenges, including sensory overload and addiction risks. Join us as we share practical strategies for striking a healthy balance and maximizing the positive impact of screen time on autistic children's development and well-being.
Welcome to Embracing Autism, a podcast for parents of autistic children seeking advice and support while spreading awareness and acceptance of autism spectrum disorder. I'm Leah.
And I'm Matt.
And each week we will discuss our journey with autism and talk about how to embrace your child's individuality while providing guidance, tips, resources, and sharing our personal stories. This is
Embracing Autism.
We wanted to give you all a heads up before we even get started with the episode and just remind you, we are in our last couple weeks of this pregnancy, and so everything is up in the air right now. So it is very possible that we might have to skip an episode if something happens at that point. It is possible that we could have to stop in the middle of a live stream for all we know. So
no, we'll finish. Leah, we will finish.
I will stay to the end. Yeah, so I just wanted to give you guys that warning and that precaution that the next couple weeks are going to be a little bit crazy. We are here. We're now going to be addressing what I think is an interesting topic of screen time and the debate over whether screen time is actually good for your autistic kid or if it's detrimental or somewhere in the middle. I noticed with our kids, they are very easily prone to wanting to use their iPads, and they also are very into TV time. Although I feel like the attraction is more towards iPad use than it is for the TV. Would you say it's about the same or?
Yeah, well, it depends. Like, I think if they're wanting to like manipulate like a device or pick a bunch of random things and not watch them all the way through, I think they're more likely to kind of use like an iPad or something. But if they're just kind of like, they just are tired and they just kind of want to sit and just like relax, and they just want to let like a video or movie go all the way through, that I think they're more likely to just kind of want to sit in front of like the TV. We see probably more addiction to screen time with like the iPad, just because I think it is kind of like a ADHD like trap, because there's like so much like feedback and there's so many different things that they can click on between like games, videos. I mean, of how often they can restart the video. It is just kind of like a constant, I would almost think like a sensory overload, but apparently like they're totally fine with all the craziness that they can do on their iPad.
It's kind of like a dopamine hit.
Right.
One of the things that is often talked about when it comes to like child development, and this is often brought up if you have your child in like that early intervention program with like speech language pathologists and stuff when your kid is first getting diagnosed, oftentimes they will bring up, and they did with us, that you should really limit your kid's screen time to no more than like 2 hours a day, because studies have indicated detrimental effects if it's more than 2 hours a day. I do feel like there are enough studies out there that support that idea, but there aren't so many studies done specifically on autistics. The other flip side of that is, even if there are these detrimental effects, if there are positive impacts, we have to kind of decide like, okay, well, what's more worth it than the other? So like one of the things, for example, is language improvement. Our kids, for example, our oldest specifically, when she was young and had very little to no speech, she actually learned her speech through screen time. We had a bunch of shows that we would watch that would have a lot of like nursery rhymes and singing and things like that. Things like Dave and Ava or super simple songs and things that were repetitive but very basic. And they were accompanied by a visual. So if it was like clap your hands, 1, 2, 3, they would show the character clapping and it would be very repetitive and like a song. And while I could see kids getting like addicted or hooked to that can be detrimental, for our daughter, it was actually helpful and was part of what helped her eventually learn speech. That repetition and being able to watch a show and learn language in a song format actually helped start and kick off her journey towards learning language. So in my opinion, at least for us, we have had, I think, more of a positive experience with screen time than negative.
And that's why I think it's hard, because like, I'm thinking back to like when we first got the diagnosis. I mean, honestly, for both the kids, their speech, as far as like the number of words that they were supposed to know at each milestone, was constantly in a deficit. So in a way, like, it sounds terrible, us watching, I guess, I mean, they are educational shows for that age group. It was a way to boost her speech. They pretty much learned the alphabet without really us teaching them, mostly because like, I think of like the little alphabet train where they say the letters and then you see the little train. So it's like something like rewarding, like they get to see like the colors of the train as they're learning the alphabet. And it was just kind of like being able to reinforce the alphabet in like a like fun song or tune, lots of characters, a train. And it was very like rewarding for them. And especially since we were at a deficit, it did give us a positive. And I mean, it kind of similar to counting as well. There was, I think on Super Simple Songs, there's like a cute little like underwater animals counting to like 100. And our daughter was able to start picking up on recognizing the numbers at a young age because of the show. It was kind of like a nice little cute video for her. So it's hard to basically do like a cold line saying like, oh no, screen time is bad, there's no benefit, it's all negative, when like we have seen some of these positives just personally in our life. I mean, granted, it's anecdotal because I mean, it's just our perspective, but it is hard to draw the line of where is becoming a bad situation with screen time.
The other thing is like, it's not just with language that we saw improvement. We also saw improvement with like social communication, for example, because in a lot of these songs, they also talk about how to socially interact with your peers appropriately. It gives you an instruction manual in some of these songs. They're like, oh, if you see a kid and he's hurt, go over and say hello. Are you okay? Or like songs that say like, oh, please and thank you. Or if you have to go, do this and that. So like there's potty training songs. There's all sorts of things that autistic kids struggle with that I felt like doing it through song was extremely beneficial for our children. Especially again, the oldest one, because she communicated through song and singing before she communicated through speaking. So for some kids, that might be really beneficial. And the other thing is, I have seen people who judge parents of autistic children who use devices like an iPad to communicate. So like if they're using like Proloquo, or they're using it as some sort of other communication device program that's on their iPad. I have seen instances of other parents criticizing parents of autistic kids for like allowing their children access to these apps and saying like, oh, you're addicted to this app. Your kid's never going to learn how to speak if you have them dependent upon the app. And I just feel like that's like a really like toxic way of using it. It makes me think of like if somebody broke their leg and was using crutches, would you be shaming that person and saying like, oh, you're addicted to this crutch, you're never going to walk.
You're just going to be weak.
Yeah, your muscles are just going to get weak and you'll never walk again.
Another thing I just thought about was for our youngest, I mean, we still struggle as far as her limited, I don't even know what you'd call it, selective language, essentially. Like,
yeah.
I think she knows the words, but she often refrains from using language. But even going back, she was learning sign language. Like she had an app where she was going through hundreds and hundreds of different signs, and she was actually learning sign language to communicate. So, I mean, there are definite benefits that you can utilize for different aspects. So like, I mean, obviously because she wasn't really keen or wasn't able to communicate just like spoken communication, she was learning how to communicate with us. And I mean, obviously we had to watch the videos too, because I don't really know sign language that great. Just so we're able to kind of do a little bit like back and forth communication as far as asking if she's hungry and like little things like that. It's hard, but then I think there are times where we do try to limit the screen time where we're like, well, you don't really need your iPad. We're just going to drive to get food real quick. It's only going to be like 10 minutes or something. So we're like, okay, you can kind of leave your iPad. So those are the times that we try to make it so like their world isn't absolutely consumed by like screens, TV, iPad, all that sort of thing. And they can kind of be just like in the car, or like we'll set time aside so they can go outside and play and just run around and enjoy life.
That is the balancing part of it, that although I do find devices and screen time beneficial, and we have certainly seen benefits from it, we do also try to balance it and still try not to give them too much tech time, too much screen time, because we have seen instances where they do get a little bit hooked on it. So like that addictive behavior does come into play. Mostly I've noticed it with mindless videos. When there's videos that are just really ends up being a lot of like visual or auditory type of stimming. It might be like a lot of flickering lights or like a sound being repetitive or things like that. Those types of videos, I might give them like a hit or two of that just to like let them, you know, enjoy it. But I try not to like just let them zone out and just go all in on that, because to me, that's not super beneficial.
And we can kind of tell, because we kind of see like those as like, what do we call it? Like brain drain, as far as just like the videos that are just about kind of nonsense. And there's nothing really like beneficial out of those videos. It's just randomness. But then there are other videos where our oldest daughter kind of binges on like little shows that just are like cram packed of just like facts about
anatomy. And
right, it'll be like anatomy, and it'll be listing off all these different facts about anatomy and how different things are working. And I'm just like, okay, like I never learned about any of this going through college and all that. Like, I mean, if she's interested, and I mean, she really is, because she'll sit there for half an hour, just watch these little videos and learn as much as she can. I'm a little more willing to let them kind of enjoy that video versus one that's just a bunch of kind of like nonsense where there's not anything that's really beneficial out of it.
Yeah. And we also are careful not to get them so addicted to technology that they kind of forget about real life. Again, because with autistic kids, they already struggle with social interactions. And so I want to focus on the social part of their life. And so we try to make a point to get them outside of the house, get them out playing, going to the playground, trying to meet with other peers and interact and things like that. Even if it's just the two of them, because they are siblings around the same age, so they can still practice social interaction with each other. And they can practice using their imagination. Like, we'll go to the front lawn, give them some chalk and say, okay, here, this is what you could do with chalk. And at first, they'll just mimic what we do and kind of copy like, oh, she said we could do a rainbow, we'll do a rainbow. And so the goal would then be to like expand that play and be like, okay, what else could you do? If you don't have all the colors of the rainbow, what colors can you use and still make a rainbow? You know, things like that, so that they are still working their minds and still kind of practicing those social skills, which you can't really get out of a tablet. So we do try to balance those things. And I personally find that really important.
But it is interesting, like when we do go outside and do like chalk, we'll have like our chairs and we'll sometimes kind of like, we'll engage with them. But then sometimes we kind of sit back just to see like, okay, how do you play without any like guidance or just us telling you what to do? And it is interesting to see the cute little things that they come up with. So sometimes they'll do like obstacle courses, or they'll try and like play like a charade game with each other and have us guessing what they're trying to enact or draw or and all that stuff. So it is kind of interesting to see how they can also use creativity when they're not given such strict guidelines. Because I think when you're like watching like a YouTube video or you're playing like a game on an app, there's like a very structured way of how you can play that game. You can't go outside of the structure of the game. So obviously, like being a kid, you have more freedom and more opportunity to kind of create your own world of sorts.
One of the other things that we've done to try to bridge that gap between like technology and avoiding that addictive type of personality, which our kids are prone to. I've seen it initially when we first got the iPads. My immediate hesitation was, oh, they're going to get addicted to this. I just know it. And so we put some safeguards at the beginning. And one of the things that we did is, for example, their YouTube videos, we use YouTube Kids and we completely personally curate every video that they see. We do not have like a free-for-all when it comes to YouTube. We specifically pick what videos they can watch and we make sure they're high-quality videos. So videos that will actually be good for them, educational, maybe something that helps with autism, for example, social stories or learning social skills, things like that. And when they do seem to show behavior where they're kind of getting antsy because they want more screen time than what they're giving them, one of the things that we have done is pull from those videos and bring it into real life. And one of the ways that we've done that, for example, is they're currently really fixated on Mario Kart. It's just like one of the things that they absolutely love right now. And so when they watch YouTube, one of the videos they love to watch is videos of just people playing Mario Kart. So there's two ways that you can pull that out. One of them is playing Mario Kart, but that's still technically screen time. So the other thing that we did is we kind of reenact Mario Kart outside with the little obstacle courses and stuff that we do out of like chalk. And then we will just tell them, okay, who do you want to be? You want to be Princess Peach or you want to be Rosalina? And they'll pick their character and then they'll pretend with their little hands that they're steering a car, and we'll tell them, okay, you got to go and follow this path that we made for you. And they will do it and they will get a lot of fun out of that. And I think we even recently added those little roller cars. What are those called? Easy rollers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are awesome.
Yeah.
They look like a ton of fun.
We got them these little carts that are called, I think they're called Easy Rollers.
Easy Rider.
Easy Rider, maybe. Easy Roller, maybe something like that. And I think they're really great for kids who struggle with gross motor control skills, because it's not like a normal bicycle. It's like one of those that you kind of sit on, but you're in a laying position. And you work it by pumping your legs, so there's no handles. It's been really therapeutic for them in terms of working her physical therapy, like low muscle tone, because she really has to pump those legs to get it going. But we've also been able to incorporate some imaginative play and pull in the Mario Kart through those into real world. So that's another thing that we've done, is if we see that they're getting addicted to something on the iPad, we try to say like, okay, how can we pull that addiction out and do it in real life so that they're not just watching it on the screen?
They had swimming lessons today, and all swim lesson, they were basically doing Mario Kart racing. So they were on their little floaties and they're racing from one edge of the pool to the other. And I'm there with them swimming along. And so they were getting excited about who was winning in first place and second place and all that. So, I mean, they clearly bring Mario wherever we go. So it's just kind of getting more creative for us to try and come up with new ways to try and keep the things that they're interested in and apply it to a wider spectrum of opportunities outside of screen time.
For us, screen time has been an overall positive experience. I'm not really the stickler type that's going to tell you like screen time is terrible for your kid. You absolutely need to get rid of screens and have a completely boho natural life, because I don't think that's realistic. And I also think there are a lot of benefits from screen time. So to me, it's more about having like a balanced approach, giving them the screen time, but giving it to them within certain restrictions and constraints, whether that's like time constraints, whether you're curating the list of what they're seeing, or whether you are joining in with them, for example. Like, you can make it a social interactive thing. One of the things that we've done is when they're on their iPad, if you have a smart TV, the iPad has an option to mirror the screen onto the TV, for example. So they can be on their iPad, on their device, and they could be doing whatever they're doing there, and you'll be able to see exactly what they're doing on the smart screen. And if it's like a game that they're playing, or if it's a video that they're watching, you can interact with them and do that sort of like disruptive play that they do in like floor time therapy, so that they're not just completely sucked in this world. So if you see them doing something on the game, ask them a question about it. What do you think this character is going to do next? Oh, why do you think he's upset? Things like that. And then becoming more engaged in the video will make it more beneficial and less of a like mind suck.
And I also think it's good to keep tabs as far as behavior with screen time. I mean, it's like a happy balance of screen time and real world, if that's what you want to call it. And sometimes, like, if it's been like a more screen heavy day, we notice that there's kind of a change in behavior where they're a little bit more vulnerable. They get a little bit more upset. Like when we say, okay, like it's time to like power down, they're a little bit more angry and like want to keep going on their devices. So we kind of like go back and forth trying to find like that happy medium where it doesn't alter their behavior in a negative way, and they're still enjoying the rest of the world, that they're not just on screens all day. So I definitely think that monitoring behavior in connection with a balanced screen time, as well as like obviously the content that they are engaging with on the screen, that is kind of a happy balance of sorts. But of course, it's kind of a tricky one as well, because how do you ever balance something like that perfectly?
Yeah, that's definitely something that I have noticed too. And that's something that I would recommend parents keep an eye on too, is if you see that your child's behavior is starting to change in a negative way because of their screen time, they get more protective about it, they get more emotional if you mention taking it away, or if you see any of these like negative behavioral signs, that I take as a, aha, we need to pull back a little bit on this because they're starting to show those addictive tendencies. So whenever I see that my kid starts becoming a little more dependent on it, that's when I will be like, okay, let's put these away and let's go outside. Or like I switch up the context and do something that they might see as more rewarding or more exciting. So like if you never go to the park, then be like, okay, let's put them away. Let's go to the park. If I don't intervene at that specific time when I see this behavior that's starting to uptick, it's just going to get worse. It's going to be harder later down the road because you let it go and now they're like deeply entrenched in this game or this video, and it'll be even harder to take it from them without starting or triggering a meltdown. So I like to kind of keep that like sixth sense going and just keep an eye on how the iPad is impacting their behavior. And if I see like a little uptick here or there, then I'm like, okay, we need a break. That kind of helps us stem the flow a bit.
And I'm not sure if you've noticed, like when we do that and like we get them outside and we spend like the rest of the afternoon outside, either in like our yard, going to the park, going to like a store, just walking around, just seeing life. It seems like it's almost like a like clean reset, because then their mood, their behavior is much more calm, peaceful. It hits a reset because sometimes it might start like amping up as far as like behavior with the iPad or devices. But then as soon as we do that, it resets it where it's like a more neutral, happy place. And then like we can like start to reintroduce screen time at a lesser frequency to see how they're able to do, leveling things out and keeping things all balanced. But yeah, it's just, it's interesting that you kind of hit the reset button and then things kind of calm down for a little bit. So it's nice.
That's basically our take. It's not really super complex in our view. I kind of just feel like it's all about finding a middle ground and not being overly strict one way or another, but being like cautious and not letting your guard down either. So just be involved as a parent and make sure that whatever they're watching, you're watching out for what they're watching, because that's another thing. Autistic kids tend to be echolalic. Our oldest one very much so is. Our youngest one sometimes is. And if she's watching a video and they say something inappropriate, she will be echoing it forever. So we do also have to watch out for things like that. It's all about really being an observant parent and an involved parent. And then just really, I think about fishing, where you're like pushing and pulling on the string with fish. Sometimes you're reeling it in. Sometimes you're letting it go a little bit. It's the same thing with screen time. Sometimes you're reeling it in a bit. Sometimes you're like, oh, okay, you can have some screen time. We're good. And it's not super black and white. It really depends on every kid, how they can handle screen time, what the content is. There's so many variables. So it really boils down to you as a parent and your relationship with your child and what you feel their limitations should be. And that's pretty much what we do with our kids.
Yep.
So actually, now that we are getting close to the end of this episode, we forgot to mention this earlier in the episode, but we are doing our random selection. Those of you are hearing this for the first time, we have a pool of people basically that apply on our website. So you just go to autismwish.org and then you can click on Make a Wish. And we grant up to $100 worth of sensory therapeutic items from your child's Amazon wish list if they qualify. Each month we do that at the last podcast episode of the month. And that's this one for March. So we will actually be selecting our random winner now. That lucky winner will have $100 worth of stuff sent to them for their Amazon wish list. See, I got it. Oh, okay, you got the screen up. Perfect. Very briefly, for those of you who have not done this, you must be in the United States to qualify, but there's a whole list of guidelines and eligibility to make sure that you qualify. Make sure you look through that before you apply, just to make sure you know that you're good to go. We're going to go ahead and click and spin the wheel. For those on audio only, there's a wheel that's going to spin with names on it, and then I will read out loud who the winner is. So I will go ahead and...
Do you want to click?
Yep, I'll do that right now. All right, I clicked it. It is spinning. Let's see who our March winner is. Oscar Bailey. Okay, so our winner is Oscar Bailey. That's the name of the parent because I don't put the children's names up. So I will be reaching out to you through the email you provided in the form. We will get you hooked up with your wishlist items. For everyone else, you can apply to this basically anytime, and your name will stay on the list basically forever until your name is called, at which point it gets removed for a year. So that's how it works. Pretty simple and straightforward.
Congratulations, Oscar.
As we wrap up here, I just want to ask you guys, what's your opinion on screen time? Do you find that your child has improved with screen time, or do you feel that it has negatively impacted them or their behavior? Let us know what you think by sharing your thoughts in the comments on YouTube or Facebook at Autism Wish, or you can continue the conversation with us on our private Embracing Autism community. You could become a member at autismwish.org and you'll get exclusive access to that private community. And on there, you can help support our mission while also finding your tribe. You'll have direct access to us. There's drop-in live chats. It's really fun. So thanks for hanging out, everybody. We will see y'all next time.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been the audio from the Embracing Autism Podcast live stream series. Please check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/@autismwish to catch these shows live. Otherwise, stick around next week for our next episode. This is Embracing Autism.